But can we give God praise? It's always a great time to give God praise. Let's praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Who all have been enjoying these lessons, these element lessons? I have. Tonight we're going to pick up where Brother Anthony left off. We are on chapter 4, and then number 1. I'm going to backtrack just back to our verse to help get back focused and read the opening statement. Beginning part of the church community is an essential element of our spiritual formation. When we are a part of such a community, we are grounded in faith, enriched by relationship built among our church family. Acts 5:42 is our open verse. And daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I mean, we are born into a body. And this is a great lesson because, hey, when we are born again, we all know when we are born again, we are born into a family. And when we are repent for our sins, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, something takes place in the spiritual realm. I remember a verse in the Bible says that all of heaven rejoice when a sinner repents and become a part of the family. When we become part of this family, we become part of the most powerful family on earth. And Jesus' command to take the gospel to all the world was for the whole body of believers, not just one. It wasn't just Paul, but it was the whole body as a whole to take it to unbelievers. During this time, the Jewish religion and the Roman Empire, they didn't like that. They was upset with that. So they persecuted the church, and a Christian was forced it just wasn't safe for them to be alone. So they went to house, they preached the gospel. The result was that the body of Christ, the church grew and flourished, and despite of all persecution, we are a part of the body of Christ. Every one of us is a member of a body. We are called to spread the gospel, but we are also called to do it as a body. And what I mean by that is years ago, I'm going to tell probably a couple of short stories. Years ago, I got saved in a little country church in Malavala. And it was an apostolic church, and it was an independent church, but the Spirit of God was there. And we had evangelists came through, and we just hit it off. I mean, me and him, over these years, we just became best friends. And this evangelist was actually a member of this church. And he was a member of this church when they was in the storefront across the street. And we just got this crazy idea that we was going to go out and we were going to feed the homeless. And so we went downtown Birmingham. We made a few sandwiches, and we're going to feed the homeless. And so there was this one person out of all, I mean, I know we talked to over 100 homeless people. We passed out over 100 sandwiches. And there was this one guy. He wanted a change in his life. He lived at the bus stop. He had CDL. And I remember him telling me on Monday that he was starting over. He said, "We have collect me, a friend of mine collected enough money from people that donated for us to rent an apartment for a week. And he said, I started a job on Monday. He said, I just want to change. And so I gave him the gospel. And he accepted and wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. So I wanted to keep in mind is I was a member of a church in Malavalo. And everybody know Brother Brock. Brother Brock was a member of this church in Alabaster. But we was part of a body. And so we looked around and there was a water fountain. And we were like, well, we couldn't baptize this guy in a water fountain because it was in January. It was 20 degrees outside. And we both had a friend that taught Bible studies named Brother Cliff. And his church was just 10 miles down the road. So we called Brother Cliff up and said, hey, Brother Cliff, hey, we got this guy. He wanted to get baptized in Jesus' name. Is there any way could we use your church? So he said, yes. He said, but I'm over here right now. But Brother Sutton is at the church. He said, I'm going to call him and we're going to see if he opened the church up. So for within 2-3 minutes, we received a phone call saying, hey, the church is ready. So we took this guy to his church and baptized him in Jesus' name. So now you have one member, another member, a pastor, and another guy all was involved in ministering to this one guy. And when we baptized in Jesus' name, he received the Holy Ghost. When we left, we gave him contact for a bus to come back by to pick him up. We gave him all kind of contacts. So you have many members and one body working together to reach souls, to bring it closer to home to everybody. I want to say it was the last year. Maybe a year and a half we was having a church service here. And we had, I think the children ministry was teaching us, was preaching. And we had a man came in and was sitting on the back pew. And he was upset. And I walked out, sat next to him, talked to him a little bit, took him outside. And found out the guy just had a bad luck. He actually just got out of prison and walked from Montgomery to this location, but he wasn't looking for this church. He was looking for his uncle's house, used to be right here when he was Kent Derry's Road. So this used to be a place he grew up in, trying to find his way home. He was lost and confused. But before he left, many members in this church ministered to this guy. We found his brother and his son in Kentucky. Made contact with him and his uncle. We all pitched in with some money. We took him to the bus station, bought him a bus ticket, and I think Brother Daniel still make contact with the son still today. So like I said, many members, we all got different roles to do in the body, but we are one body. We are one body. So to section 2, privilege of joining the body of Christ. When God transforms our lives, we are baptizing to the body of Christ, the church, the group of believers, both in our local church, global, function like a family, and blesses us with love and support. Can I have a volunteer to read 1 Corinthians 12 through 13? 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 13.
For as the body is one, and have many members, and all members of that one body, are one body, so also is Christ. all day to drink into one spirit.
With a Christian tonight, when we are baptized, we are baptized into what? Well, we're baptized into Christ, one body, Christ. Why do you think different groups of people are mentioned being part of one of the body in verse 13? Anybody? Yes, we all can, that's right. We can all be part of the body. That's a good question. Anybody have any comments they want to share? In verse 13, Paul used a metaphor of drinking the Spirit. Drinking the Spirit. How might you envision this with the application to your own life? Again, in verse 13, Paul used a metaphor of drinking the Spirit. How might you envision this with application to your own life? Yes, that's right. That's right. When a person is born again, we are born into a new family. We are born into a new family. A new spiritual body with many working parts joined together, many members. When Jesus redeems us from our sins, he does not just leave us alone. I mean, we just are not left alone, but he always around us. He always make himself known by other members. We are baptized into the body of Christ. The believers around the world who are made of one family, of one God. So when we are born into this body, we have many brothers and sisters. He gives us everything we need to overcome anything that come our way. He always around and he always here to support through other members. The church is a family. Some churches maintain the tradition like we do of calling each other brothers and sisters. You know, Brother Brian, Brother Randolph, you know, Sister Roberts. But some churches keep that tradition. There is a bond that is formed within the family of God, a beautiful and woven together closely. We love and support and care for one another through our highs and through our lows, because we recognize God has joined us together. That is, you know, that's one thing. When I became a Christian, that's something I was very impressed with, because I got to know the other believers, and there ain't no doubt in doubt tonight. Everyone in this room, if I was hurting or I was in trouble, I think y'all would come to my rescue. I hope y'all would come to my rescue. But I have had people in the church help me with different things that I was going through, and came up to me and talked to me, and I didn't say nothing about it. It's just the Spirit of Christ move on someone, say, hey, I need you to go over here and talk to Brother Brian, you know. So-and-so was going through something. You just feel an impression to go over there and to talk to them. The new body, you know, we make new choices. When we're born into a new body, we make new choices. We We start to put God first. We change the way we think. The author of Hebrews promoted the ideal of regular and faithful church attendance. When a person is new to the community of being a new believer, making church a priority over other commitments can be challenging. Sometimes a person, it might take it over time to get that faithfulness. And some people, when they are born again, they pick it up just like that. And I remember, I tell you this, I always use me for example, because, you know, it's my testimony. But when I got into the church, you know, I was so hungry for prayer meetings. It was something I was curious, because I wasn't raised in this belief. I wasn't raised in an apostolic faith. So I was always curious of what's next. Give me that next thing. So, you know, every time the doors opened, me and daughter was there. Every time we had the church function, we was there. Every time we have a church picnic, hey, what can I bring? We was there. And There is a blessing in it. And then we had kids. We had to teach them some things. One of the things that God impressed on me is don't let things get in your way of church. Emma reached a certain age. In school, she wanted to play basketball and sports. And I just had something just came over me and said, okay, you know, I'm going to let her play sports, but it can't interfere with church. Church is first. It cannot interfere with church. So I sat down with Emma. I said, Emma, if you really want to play sports, you know, I don't have a problem with that, but it cannot interfere with church. This is the rule. If they have a practice on Wednesday night, you won't be there. If they have a game on Wednesday night, you won't be there. If Friday night there's a youth event, you just won't be there. If there is a tournament, you just can't. So I had to teach this to my kids. So we went and we met the coach. And the coach came up to me and said, Emma's got such talent. You know, we really would like her to play. And I said, okay. I said, but I need to talk to you. And she said, okay. So everybody else left. We sat down and I told her what the rules is in my life, why is so important to me, and they did not have a problem with that. They said they understood. And there was a couple of tournaments Emma missed. There was a couple of practice that she didn't make. But, you know, church attendance was very, when you start standing up for God, things just start growing in your life. So your faith get bigger. Galatians 6:10 tell us we should do good to all people, even more to those who are within the community of believers. So I'll ask you tonight, what is something we can do good for people that is outside of church and for somebody that is inside the church? What is some stuff we could do for them? Like preparing a meal, taking to your neighbor's house, making a cake. Anybody have any things they could add? What could you do to somebody in the church just to make them feel good? I remember when when we moved to Concord, where we live now, we had a neighbor brought us a cake. Welcome us, invite us to the local church. That's something we can do to help grow the kingdom of God. And that's something we can do to show our love to somebody in church. Give money to someone that needs money, to help a financial need, to encourage someone going through a hard time. Can somebody find John 13, 34 through 35? John 13, 34 through 35.
The new commandment I give to you is that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved me.
That is something that when we are born into a body, that is something we are born to do, is to love. We cannot fake our way through this process of loving someone. True love motivates us to go beyond our comfort zone and to do things we normally wouldn't do for the sake of the one we love. In fact, we cannot say we love God if we do not love others. So how can we show our love to someone? Anybody? How can we show our love to someone? We can show our love by sharing the gospel of Christ. We can show our love by giving, like I said earlier, by giving kind words. Looking at 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10. Let's see if we find that. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10. And above all things, have charity among yourself, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so ministers the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Charity among yourself, meaning translate the word charity, mean love. We often hear people quote this verse. This does not mean that we have sinned or ignored them, but we cannot simply ignore our physical body when we are hurt or have sickness. It must be medically treated. The same is true for the body of Christ. When one member falls into sin, we do not just ignore it. We address it and help minister to that member. Now, that is hard. When I was a young Christian, I was always told that when you try to talk to somebody or you to talk to someone that might not seem like they doing everything they could to please God, the first thing they always said, that's judging. Can't judge me. Anybody heard of that? Don't be judging me. Don't be judging me. This is hard because I believe we've been brainwashed that taking that scripture out of context, don't be judging me. But we're not actually judging. We're just trying to minister and trying to keep someone from falling. I was faced with a hard thing a few years ago that a friend of mine, a sister in Christ that I watched, was the worship was baptized, was filled with God's Spirit, was slipping away. I could tell that she was just slipping away in just different things. And I remember going to her and I said, listen, there is Jesus loves you. Jesus still loves you. Whatever you're going through, just grab a hold of the church. Go back to the church. No matter what kind of hurt you feel, just don't run away from God. And then I found myself saying, whatever trouble you are in, whatever you are doing, just run from me. Well, later on, I felt like they thought I was judging. But they were not judging. They're just trying to show love. Trying to show when you went. But please, I want to give everybody permission. If you ever see me doing something wrong, come tell me. If you can't tell me, go find this man right here and tell him. Because I promise you, he's not afraid to find me and give me some love. Because that's what that is. Don't be afraid to grab a saint by the hand and say, hey, listen, I love you. Jesus loves you. But hey, come to the prayer room with me. That's an easy way to do a thing. Come to the prayer room with me. I will never forget. And y'all might have heard this little story of this guy came to church one day. I think this happened in Florida. As we used to stop by this preacher's church every now and then when we was on vacation. But this man came to church one day, and this little lady said, hey, do you have the victory? And He was honest with her that day and said, no, I don't have the victory. I don't have the victory today. Just don't. Well, she grabbed him by the ear and she took him to the altar and said, let's go get some. Let's go get some victory. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Hallelujah. God is good. Ain't nobody got any comments. I feel like I'm doing all the talking. Somebody got to talk. Somebody's got to, man, teach with a teacher. That get me on track. Anybody got anything to say about the body of Christ, a story or something that they testimony that going with us? Anybody? By loving someone in the body of Christ, we can't stand by and watch them make themselves sick by sin. We have to love them by reaching to them. Amen. We have to love them by reaching to them. Using your individual gift in the body. Everybody have a gift. Do you believe that? Everybody have a gift. God have gave everybody something. Something they can do. Each member of the body has received gifts from God, uniquely designed to serve the kingdom of God. As we reach on how God has equipped us, we find new opportunities to use our gifts in the service. Can I have somebody find Romans 12, 4 through 8? Romans 12, 4 through 8.
All have the same function. So in Christ we eat so many.
Not everyone can speak in public. That's right. That's right. That's right. Praise the Lord. That's right. No, I want not anybody can play musical instrument. Some people can't even cook. Some people can perform routine building maintenance. Some people can't do major skills. Skills. But everyone have something. Everyone has something. Everyone has a gift, a talent that can be used in the service of God. This is why Paul just gave a different list of some things that just an ideal, a starting point of what people gives that people does have. I believe knowledge is knowing how to do something if you don't have to do it on a regular basis, okay? So, for instance, if you know how to bake a cake or go to the store and buy a box mix and follow the instruction and bake that cake, and it tastes good, bake another one and take it to somebody. That's ministry. That's a gift. I'm not a plumber. I learned some stuff over the years, how to do gas fittings and blow heaters out. Work on a hot water heater. I can't swap a pipe, but I can take a hot water heater apart. Take the thermocoupling out. Take the burner out. I can rebuild that thing, put it back together. But I'm not skillful in it. But that's something I know how to do. And like I said, I use myself. I'm not trying to have an I spirit or nothing like that, the big I. But what I mean by this, one day we were having fish Sunday dinner over there at church. And it was cold, and we needed a heater fixed. Nobody else was here. And my wife volunteered me to go look at the heater. So I was able to go over there and fix the heater. I think at that particular time, that was ministry. That particular time, that was something that I think God gave me the knowledge to know how to do that job at a certain time because I'd done it before. I haven't done it in 20 years. But, you know, I think God give everybody something to do. Something to do in the kingdom of God. For instance, I went to minister to a church last year, and I walked in and to the platform, and there was a big horn on the platform, on the altar, big old trombone, big old horn. I was like, wow, this lady was actually playing this thing. And I was like, you know, God gave her that skill. And I didn't know that. I was like, is she playing? Is she going to play that at church? I said, I asked somebody, well, is there a place I could go pray? Well, when I came back out, she had what was one of those horns that you, trombone, man, she had one of those things out there. And when the praise music started, she started playing that. It was a gift that, I mean, she could play it well. Before I looked around, they had a small orchestra out there, man. They had horns and bass guitars and drums and electric guitars. And God gave this one sister a talent. She could play everything. She could do it well. But one challenge some people face is acceptance in their role in the body. Sometimes we feel like especially new converters, I mean, even some people that have been in church for a long time feel like they don't have anything to do. Now, I still don't know what my gift is. And all I can say to that is God gave it to think about something you do well, and that's what your gift is. And you can use that in the kingdom of God. I know someone has a great imagination. Great imagination. Sit down and can write a children's script out of a play perfectly. Great. And just have notes, but feel like that just not, I just still don't know any, I just don't know what God has for me. I don't have nothing. But that's something. If you can have a something, if you can do that, or write notes or lessons down or even a sermonette, that's something God gave to you. Use it for the kingdom of God. Use it. I'm amazed with, I tell you this, I'm amazed with Brother Anthony. You know, man, he's so talented when it comes to this stuff right here. God gave him an ability. I don't think he went to college for it. I think God just man, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Man, I wish God, I wish the Lord shine some of that gift, some of that stuff on me. Isn't about to feel that way? All right, I see y'all. I feel like y'all get my point. I feel like you get my point. Okay. We just got to accept it. We just got to accept what God has for us and share it with the world. Share it with the world. All right. Anybody else got something to say? Anybody? Brother?
I remember when I first started getting into the church and got saved and found a new place. Yeah. And I remember Brother Caleb. I don't know if I have. He said, "Brother," he said, "I've watched you since you've come to this church." He said, "You got a spirit." He said, "That's a gift.
Yes.
You care about me." And he said, "As God's dealing with you through whatever your gift is," he said, "God will reveal that to you in due time." He said, "You have a gift. And that serving of others is a gift. You have a compassion for others." You know, the Bible said, well, Jesus didn't come just to perform miracles, but he was moved with compassion.
That's right.
And I think that we all have that when the Spirit of God begins to move on us. We get better at just loving people. And then even more when you're in a body.
Yeah.
You know, I don't love my right hand more than I love my left, even though I use my right. So it's more important that we all understand that. There's that measure of faith God has also given us. Don't discount the little things. We don't have any, what they say, the little eyes and the big U's in the own kingdom of God. We all have a part.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. That's good. Another gift I just thought about is, you know, I ain't trying to be real funny or nothing like that, but it's the gift of gab. Some people just got it. I mean, they do. And they can walk up to anybody and start talking. Man, just that's a, to me, that's a gift. That really is a gift. That's right. I know what you mean. You know, my wife, she does have a special gift. She can, there's not a week go by, she don't, we don't sit around the kitchen table and she's, "Hey, I met somebody at Walmart." Because she does, she has a gift. People is drawn to her, and she, man, she will, I'll get home from work and swear, you know, she on Mondays and she go by Food Giant. "Oh, I got talking with somebody at Food Giant." It's an hour later, man. It's 7 o'clock. Where my wife at? You know, it's a gift because they talking about God. They talking about the Lord. It's a gift. But praise the Lord. It's I said that was good, brother. That was good. Section four. Let's go ahead and find someone to Jeremiah 3:15. Someone please find Jeremiah 3:15. And someone find 1 Peter 5:2-3. Jeremiah 3:15. And then 1 Peter 5:2-3. Okay. And then 1 Peter 5:2-3.
Heed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not the filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being unsolved.
All right. God provides a pastor to serve in the local assembly. Pastor care for the church with guidance and from scripture, provide direction and for spiritual growth, warn of spiritual danger, and are available in time of need. God give us what? From Jeremiah 3:15. What does God give us? Yes. Yes. What shall that person feed the individual? Knowledge and understanding. Okay. And then question three. Pastor should be what to the flock? What should 1 Peter 5:2-3? Pastors should be what to the flock? Examples. That's right. Example. Peter described the work of a pastor as shepherding. Shepherds serve a vital role in caring for sheep, leading them to pastures, providing food, protecting them from danger of predators, tending to them if they hurt or sick. In a spiritual sense, a pastor provides spiritual nutriments to the congregation by preaching and teaching scripture and warning. We warning us spiritual dangers and caring for us when we need help. And it was once said that a pastor should smell like the sheep. Because a pastor loves the sheep. We are the sheep. And what I mean by that is that there is nothing, I'm going to just say like that, there is nothing my pastor wouldn't do for me. I mean, there's nothing my pastor wouldn't do for me. I have went to my pastor in need, and with things hurting, and he was always there to show support, always there with the scripture, always prayed about the situation. And there was time that I got called to the pastor office. so it go both ways, you know. But you know, when you get called to the pastor office, that's love. That's love. And that's love, and
that's the chance to get better.
That's right, brother. That's the chance to get better. Amen. And we should listen to our pastor. If a good sheep, a sheep know the voice of the shepherd. A sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And we should know the voice of our pastor, just like we should know the the voice of the good shepherd. We should know the voice of God. But we also should know the voice of our pastor when he's preaching behind this pulpit, because while he preaches what God gave him, and he's coming from love from his heart. What I mean by getting called to the pastor office is when things might not have been going good, he sees things that I may not see. And he and things got to be correct, and it needs to be correct before it flow into your family, and then it can become a big mess. But the thing is that we should listen to the voice of our spiritual pastor, and our shepherd in heaven. Scripture also requires the pastor to be an example of the flock. Great leaders should be great examples to those who follow them. While a pastor are human, they still subject to different things to affect their life. God bless pastor with spiritual authority to be example to the church. Man. To be an example to the church. A pastor would be judged in heaven for everything he does on earth. I think they're going to be a special judgment for pastors. But anyway, in closing tonight, anybody want to add to a pastor about pastoring? Anybody? All right, let's see. The Apostle Paul instructed the church in Corinth to follow him as he followed Christ. We should pray for a pastor and follow the pastor as he or she follows Scripture and leading of God. When do you think God has given diverse gifts to each church? Now we are closing. We're going back over this lesson, but when do you think God has given diverse gifts to each person? Wonder different people, each person have a gift. All right, that's a good answer. Anybody want to share the thoughts on the element that are very important to being part of the body of Christ? What is the element that is very important?
You may have a gift, and if you're not using that gift God has called you to do, then that may be lacking.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and you know, there's a lot of reasons people don't. Some, you know, just feel intimidated, don't really, and I felt this. I feel like he may have been calling me in a certain area, but I'm like, God, is that you? I want to know that it's you and not me.
Yes.
So sometimes, you know, you feel inadequate. And other times, I'm just, you know,
yes.
But you got to remember, God has given you that gift. He will equip you. And if you're not doing it, then that gift may be lacking.
That's good. That's good. That's good. And then the third question is 1 Peter 5 and 6 command us to humble ourselves. Why is it important to humble ourselves? Anybody? Well, that's right.
Holding up all the frame, it doesn't allow life. Yes. Not just their eyes, nose, ears, and all that. So every gift is there for a reason. Right. God equips us to have that diversity.
All right. That's good. Anybody else? Any comments or anybody want to add on to anything we said tonight, brother?
I think gifts are, individuals, if we receive gifts like for Christmas or birthdays or whatever, we hear the gifts that we get, that's for me.
Yes.
And that got my name on it. But the gifts of God are meant not just for you, they're meant for others.
All right.
You get that gift, but you use it to distribute the contents of that gift.
Yes.
To the rest of the body.
That's good. Anybody else? Brother Caleb, you want to close us out in prayer?
Thank you, Lord. It's great to allow us to come here this evening, come together, study the words. Where we all take what we've learned here, here the rest of the week.
Yes. Man. All right. Thank you.